This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Loretta Doan, who served as director of the General Services Administration in the administration of President George W. Bush. A couple of weeks ago, you may remember she was with us to explain why she believes the Obama administration is being financially irresponsible, especially after promising to go through the budget line by line in order to figure out where some wasteful spending could be cut. We'll be talking about that in a little bit more detail in just a moment. But Loretta, first of all, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, glad to be here.
First, before we get to the line-by-line issue, I guess in a related story, we know that the House narrowly passed the Democratic version of health care reform on Saturday. They passed it even though the price tag, by most accounts, is north of what the president has set as the parameter, $900 billion. The official CBO estimate was below that, but most estimates say it's about a $1.2 trillion at least over 10 years. And even more expensive after that. The claim all along has been that reforming health care will, in the long run, reduce costs. How accurate is that?
I think it's incredibly misleading. It's inaccurate. And frankly, it's just a downright lie. When you look at the House version that was passed, it was 1,990 pages of absolute gibberish. Greg, I read it. And let me tell you, there was a deliberate attempt to obscure what was being done. Many places within the bill would actually refer to other bills. So it would refer, for example, to the 1986 IRS tax code. Well, if you're not familiar with that, which most Americans are not, you would actually have to go and look through tens of thousands of pages of a tax code in order to understand what was being said in the 2,000-page Pelosi bill. That's wrong. That's just plain wrong.
And so we talked about line by line with the budget last time. We'll talk about that in a second. But what did you learn going line by line in addition to confusion might have been an agenda here?
Well, one of the things I learned is that this bill, the bill that the House passed, continues the anti-small business position of the Obama administration. The penalties, the requirements, the reporting, and the regulations that they are about to layer on the small business community are ferocious, and they will absolutely crush the small business community. Already, we've seen the Obama administration has a lot of anti-small business policies, you know, relating to tax and the different taxes and the different requirements on the business. But now, with this health care reform, the requirements, for example, on employer reporting of whether your employees do or do not have health care coverage, how much of it is covered, how do you report it on the tax form, did they actually file their taxes? This is not where we want our small businesses to actually be spending their time. We want them to be creating the 3 out of every 4 jobs that they normally create. We want them to create those new innovative products that will make us more competitive and help us dig our way out of this incredible mountain of debt that the Obama administration has given to us. And we want them to hire more people. But that is not what's going to happen with this current bill. It is so incredibly intrusive into the lives of Americans. And the only thing that the Pelosi folks have going for them is that it's going to take Americans a while to figure it out because the bill is so big.
We're talking with Loretta Doan, former director of the General Services Administration. And Loretta, we talked about line by line. What about line by line through the health care bill? Do you get the sense that most lawmakers did what you did and took the time to actually go through it?
No, they could not have, because they could not have voted their conscience if they had. If they had read the bill, they would realize that we are putting in place penalties that will put our children, they will be slaves forever. They will be slaves to the debt that we will have incurred. So, for example, young people are very healthy overall in this country. We have one of the best health care systems in the world. They're very healthy. They're going to require every young person to have a health care, to be involved in health care, to have some kind of insurance, to purchase some plan in their name. It's not enough just to be carried on your parents' policy. And so what they're saying is that every young person coming out of school, coming out of high school, wherever, starting their first job, is now going to be saddled with anywhere from, say, $2,500 to up to, say, $6,000 to pay for health insurance policies, which will no longer be tax deductible. And so for a young person just starting out, that's a huge burden. Then you take it one step further. If they decide they don't want to do that, then they're going to have to pay a fine. If they believe that this is a violation of their civil rights and they don't want to pay the fine, they will go to jail.
Loretta, obviously there's a lot of spending involved with the health care bill. Let's talk about the larger picture of federal spending now. And you mentioned the burden that's headed towards future generations if, in fact, health care gets passed. But also, we already know with the debt we've already accrued that there's going to be quite a bill for future generations. If the president were to go line by line, as he promised, through the federal budget, just how much wasteful, bloated spending is there to really take the hatchet to if he was serious?
I believe that they could find hundreds of billions of dollars of bloated spending. Most of the projects that are being funded right now by Congress, sadly, especially as a result of the stimulus, are just pork, absolute pork, and you could maybe charitably characterize it as payola. But they're not creating critical infrastructure projects that are going to create jobs in the private sector. What I've seen right now that's happening is they're preparing the 2011 budget, because remember, the federal government is always preparing the budget in advance because its fiscal year goes actually from October 1st through through September 30th. And so we're in the current 2010 fiscal year. They're preparing the 2011 budget. What has happened is the $787 billion of stimulus spending, the spending that the president promised us would be a one-time jolt to the economy. Well, Greg, you know, of course, it hasn't really jolted the economy. It hasn't created 3.5 million jobs that the president promised. But what we're now finding is it's also not a one-time thing. What most of the government executive agencies are doing is they're taking those expenditures, places like the Department of Commerce with the Cash for Clunkers program, or a place like the Department of Congress, which is funding the Marsh Rat Research Project in Speaker Pelosi's district. Those particular line items from the stimulus are now being slid into the annual budget, and they're being treated as if they're regular annual expenditures of the federal government. What that means is that the annual budget of our country just got $1 trillion bigger, and that's $1 trillion that we never had in the first place.
Oh, Loretta, you've obviously been watching the Democrats in control. You were part of a Republican administration, and it wasn't just more than a couple of years ago that Republicans were in control, and the problem keeps getting worse. How do you stop the cycle?
It takes a different kind of politician, perhaps, than what we have right now on the Hill. We see a few of them. I thought the Republicans did a wonderful job in refusing to vote for Pelosi Care. But what it takes is someone who is willing to say, I'm going to do what's right, not what's convenient, even if it means that I don't get elected. I will absolutely not put in place a spending bill that will chain my children forever to debt that we now owe to the Chinese. And that's a hard stance, because so often the folks on the Hill spend all their time worrying about how they can get reelected again. And we need folks who care more about our country and less about being reelected. And I think that's really hard to find those people nowadays, Greg. I think that's very, very rare. But one of the first things they could do is they need to stop spending. So it's the old saying, you know, how do you get out of a hole? You stop digging. Well, how do you get out of debt? You stop spending. And that's a discipline that I'm sorry to say I don't think most Democrats are willing to embrace. They want to vote for good things now, and if someone has to pay for it later, well, so be it.
Where do you start the stopping of spending? Where would be the first areas you target, whether it's in entitlements, duplicative programs? Where do you go?
The first thing I would absolutely do is say you can't start a new program, for example, in healthcare until you've done the entitlement reform discussed probably for the last two decades. Everyone knows that our entitlement system, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, that these are bloated, that there's a lot of duplication of the benefits, and it's not working. Tort reform, the malpractice insurance and the situation there with the doctors is just out of control. So before they embrace all of these other very dodgy schemes that are in the health care bill that came out of the House, they need to address issues that are specifically within their hands. So, for example, duplicate payments. We have the IT, the technology, the databases to track this. Certainly the IRS can figure out whether they've got duplicative payments. It's the very same system. They should be able to apply that to the entitlement reform and say, we're not going to issue duplicate checks. We're not going to keep funding people on unemployment who haven't made any effort to find a job. And, oh, by the way, you don't think this job is up to your level or your degree of prestige, well, too bad. It's better to have a job than not have a job. You know, so there are places along the way that we can draw the line as a country, and we've made a decision and chosen not to.
Loretta, unfortunately, our time is up. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Well, it was a pleasure. And I will tell you one thing, though, that we have to be a little worried about. The government has never proven that they're able to manage large programs. The execution risks are huge. Cash for Clunkers was a disaster. We ended up paying four times the value of cars for people that we don't even know are citizens. Why Congress thinks that they will be able to manage a program as big as healthcare is beyond me.
I think a lot of people are asking that question. Again, Loretta, as always, we appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Have a great day.
You too. Loretta Doan, former director of the General Services Administration and the administration of President George W. Bush. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.